to the truth, blinded to the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now these people that Paul was talking about, they could see perfectly out of their eyes. They could see where they're going. They could see their friends and their families. They could see their associates in life. They could see the path that they were choosing. But Paul said there was something about their mind that was blinded. And he said because of that, the gospel was hid unto them. These same people could have the Bible lying in the corner of the room, or maybe on the coffee table, just on top of a little centerpiece. But Paul said that yet it could be so close to them, their minds could be blinded to it. And he said what had happened was the God of this world had done that. Now, children, it's very simple to me as I begin to read the Word of God and understand what Paul's talking about here. When we have our mind upon heavenly things, when we have our mind towards God and towards heaven and towards Christ, when we have our mind towards things eternal, then the gospel is something that we can see and we can realize, we can embrace nobody. But Paul said that when the God of this world occupies our mind, when our mind is filled with the pursuits of this world, the pursuits of this life, then we can have our minds blinded to what's true. We can have our minds blinded to the gospel. And Paul says, in this respect, the gospel becomes hid to them. Even though it may be right out in front of them where they could reach up and pick it and embrace it, yet Paul says it's something that's hid from them. The gospel is hid from them because the God of this world hath blinded their mind. We want to see for a few moments of time some of the things that people can't see when their minds are blinded. And that's the general thrust of the message tonight, is some of the things that people can't see when they allow their minds to be blinded by the God of this world. And do we have any difficulty understanding who that is? Jesus made it plain that we cannot serve God and mammon. He said we cannot serve God and wealth. He says we cannot serve God and the world. So the God of this world is that spirit that works in the children of disobedience that leads us to pursue the things of the world. Generally referred to him as the devil or Satan. But those people whose minds are blinded from the truth, from the gospel, these people can't see where they are in relation to God. They cannot see where they are in relation to God. Now we have relationships in our lives, right? We have a relationship with our spouse. We have a relationship with our kids. We have a relationship with each member of the local congregation of where we worship. We have a relationship with those that we work with on a daily basis. We have a relationship with the city or the town of which we're a member. And generally those relationships are pretty clear and defined. But when it comes to spiritual things, those that have allowed the God of the world to blind their minds, they cannot see where that they're at in relationship to God. Romans 3:23, Paul says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, I know we talk about, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the glory of the sun and the moon and the stars. He talks about the glory of those things that are here upon the earth. And certainly we know that God's glory excels all of that. And Paul says that when one sins, he or she falls short of the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight that that's unacceptable. That's not acceptable in the eyes of God. In the beginning of the creation, the Bible makes it plain that God made a male and God made a female. And the Bible says that these people were made in the image of God. They resembled God in their makeup, in their likeness, in their characteristics, in their spirit. And certainly there should be a glory that evolves around this man, this one that resembles God. And yet we find that they sinned, and because of that sin, they fell short of God's glory. Well, what happened when that occurred? Well, we find in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23, that God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, the Bible says. Here God had planted a garden, and God had placed the man, and God had placed the woman that he had made in his image, that his likeness, that participated in his glory. He put them in this garden, and God walked among them, and God talked among them until they sinned. And then their relationship was changed. We have to get people to understand that today, that sin alters our relationship with God. And so we do not have the relationship that we once had. God drove them from the garden. Isaiah 59:2 says that your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he would not hear. That doesn't mean that God can't see you, and that doesn't mean that God won't hear you, but that means that sin is a barrier between you and God. And it alters that relationship, that those that have allowed the God of this world to blind their minds, they can't see that relationship is altered, and they don't have the relationship that they need to have with God. Isaiah 55:8-9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says there's the expanse of the heaven that separates the way I think and the way man thinks. And particularly those that allow the God of this world to blind their mind. So those that have the gospel hid to them, those that have allowed the pursuits of worldly things, those that allowed the God of this world to blind their minds, they fail to see their relationship with God has been altered because of sin. God at one time walks and talks among us. God at one time participates in our life in an intimate way, but sin drives man from God. You'll notice that God doesn't move, does he? God's still where he was, but man wasn't where he was. Is that correct? So man is moved from God because of sin. The relationship is altered, and man can't see that because their eyes, the mind has been blinded. Also, those that are in a condition like this fail to see the dangers that are around them. Now, most of us today, if we think that we're in danger, we're going to try to find a place of safety. That's human nature, isn't it? If we think that we or ourselves or our loved ones are in danger, we will look for a safe place. But people that are in such a condition as we're having reference to tonight fail to see the dangers that are around them. Job 5:3-4, Job says this, I have seen the foolish taking root. Now you know that when we have things take root in our garden or in our yard, sometimes it's difficult to get rid of that, isn't it? And here the Bible says that he has seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. Why? Because his children are far from safety. And they fail to realize that. How many mothers today, if they felt like their children were in danger, wouldn't rush to their side, grab them to their bosom, and run to a safe place? That's what we would want to do, isn't it? The same thing with the fathers in the congregation. If you felt like your children were in danger, you would run to where they're at, scoop them in your arms, and run to a safe place. You would defend your children, yet the Bible here says the foolish don't even understand the place they're putting down their roots allows their children to be in danger. You know, not only themselves are in danger, they're far from safety, but their children are as well. We need to take a stop in our lives today and make sure that we understand that not only the place that we're putting down roots allows us to remain safe, but it also allows our kids to be safe as well. You know, the actions that we take today can have long-standing effects upon future generations, and particularly our own family. But they can't see the dangers that are around them. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul says, whose end is destruction. You know, we destroy things that are of no value. We destroy things that perhaps are destructive themselves. We destroy things that we have no use for. And here Paul is talking about a certain group of people, similar to this group that we're talking about tonight, that is alive to God in this world, to blind their minds. And here Paul says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We have to get it into our mind tonight that if we pursue earthly things continually, it's going to destroy us. Just like the one that's hard after liquor, it's going to destroy his life, right? It's going to destroy his body. Just like the one that's hard after other social sins, it's going to destroy their life and have an impact adversely on their life. Here the Bible makes it plain to us that those that mind earthly things, their end is destruction. There's nothing in this world that should consume our attention to our destruction. You know, Paul makes it plain that we need to be masters of our own body, didn't he? He said, I buffet my body daily, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached unto others, I myself also should be a castaway. Paul says we need to make sure that we're masters of our body. James said, don't let your tongue cause your flesh to sin. Bible makes it plain that we want to keep ourselves from sexual sins. The Bible makes it plain that we're a temple of God. It's supposed to be holy. Yet we can allow the desires of the flesh and the earthly mind to lead us down a path of destruction. And Paul said that that's the kind of people that will end up there is the ones that mind earthly things because the God of this world has blinded their minds. Verse Timothy 6 and 9, Paul says again, talking about desiring wealth of this world. He says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Here Paul says that if your sole purpose in life is to get rich and to gather things together for yourself and just build up a lavish estate for yourself, if that's your goal, that's your motive, that's your desire, that's your drive and your determination in life, you're drowning yourself. Yet people can't see that. They can't see the dangers that's involved in that. Yet Paul says you're drowning yourself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul says, seeing them it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Then he says in verse 8 that Jesus is going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Yet people can't see that. We wake up each day, we see God's sunshine, we see God's blessing on the breakfast table, we see God's blessing in the closet when we get our clothes, we see God's blessing in the families and friends that we have, we see God's blessing in the work that provides and sustains our daily needs, we see God's blessing in the local congregation of his family, yet we fail to recognize these things in obedience to them. and we can only see our own greed, selfish desires, minding earthly things. We can't see the dangers that are around us. Another thing that those that are in such a state can't see, or they fail to see, is the blessings that are found in Jesus. You know, a lot of people think it's strange that we don't run after the new gadgets of the world. People think it's strange that you don't work all the overtime that you can, although those of us on salary don't have a choice. But we're not seeking after all the worldly pursuits. Why? Why? Those things can make you happy. Those things can make you secure. Those things can give you social standing. Those things can secure your future here. Why aren't you gathering those things to yourself? Because there's greater blessings found in Jesus. That's what we say. There's greater blessings found in Jesus. The world fails to see that because the God of this world has blinded their minds. And they can't see that. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, God commends His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can see how that God loved me so much that when I was sinning against Him, when I was separated from Him, God was wanting to bring me back. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Isn't that something that we should embrace ourselves in our quest for life and immortality? Luke 1 and 14, the Bible says, thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at His birth. Well, those of us that are children of God tonight, we all have joy in our lives. You know, we're our little children sometimes say, there is joy, 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 joy down in my heart. But children, there ought to be some joy in our hearts too. Because the Bible says, because Jesus came into this world, that we would have joy and gladness. You know, those are two wonderful things to have in your life, is joy and gladness. Yet the world fails to see the joy associated with serving the Lord. The world fails to see the gladness that's in the heart and the mind of the Christian. There's joy and gladness there. That's a great blessing. Romans 11:32, for God concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon them all. You know, that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Many times we can hear the preacher say that when we fall asleep in bed, we fall in the hands of a just God. Well, certainly He is just. You know, more than anything, we want mercy from God, don't we? If we get justice, all of us deserve a little less than what He's given us, don't we? Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The world can't see that. The world can't see that. The God of this world blinded their minds. Matthew 6:31-32, the Bible talks about the fact that we shouldn't be taking thought for our lives what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall be clothed with. The Bible there says all the nations, the Gentiles, seek after those things. Their every desire is for something to eat, something to drink, something to wear. What did Jesus say there? Jesus said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Now you think that God knows we need something and ain't going to give it to us? Another material blessing that's found in Jesus is the fact that God knows we need these things and He'll provide them for us. We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him that if we work and do our part, that God will certainly make sure that we have what we need to eat and drink and wear. Then we find Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many spiritual blessings is there? How many spiritual blessings are found in Christ? You know, I don't know the answer to that. I went looking through my Bible the other night, and I listed out all kinds of what I thought was spiritual blessings, but I don't know if I found them all or not. And I got to thinking, how many are there? Well, I don't know. How many do I have? I have them all. How do I know that? Because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. If there's a spiritual blessing out there, God gave it to me if I follow Him. And I have to believe that, yet the world can't see that there's any value in that. The world can't see the truth that's found in that. Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Eternal life. People have spent their entire lives searching globe over for that special potion, or that special holy water, or that special something that's going to prolong life here. Well, children, I want to live just as long as I can here too. But I understand that if I serve God, when I leave this world, my life begins. Because the Bible says that God promised me eternal life before this world began. And I find that in the Scriptures. I can see that. Those that have allowed the God of this world to blind their minds, they can't see that. Another thing they can't see is their worth or value to God. You know, the God of this world will tell those that are down in a condition like this and say, you're of no value. You're of no worth. You've done things in your life that makes you a bad boy. You've done things in your life that makes you a bad girl. And you have no value to yourself. You have no value to the society. You have no value to the church. You have no value to God. And that is wrong. Because God thinks that there's value and worth in every human being. God has investment in you. God made you. God made you unique. And God made you special. And God wants you to serve Him. That's what the truth is. Yet the God of this world blinds our minds and makes us not see that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that sound like that you're of some value to God? Well, sure you are. You don't just go around giving your only begotten Son for any old thing. There's got to be some value there. So we find that the value of your work is great before God. They can't see things eternal. You know, it's hard for us with finite minds, particularly those of us that have allowed the God of this world, to alter or change our mind and blind our mind. It's hard sometimes to think of things eternal because we think of things that are finite. Things that have a beginning, things that have an ending. And we work within these modules of things that have a beginning, things that have an ending. But I'm telling you here tonight that the things that are important are the things that are eternal. Yet the God of this world blinds people's minds and they can't see them. Some of the things that are eternal, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, the Bible says the eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God. Eternal means it ain't going away. Okay, can we get that in our minds tonight? Eternal means it ain't going away. So if God's eternal, God ain't going away. And surely if we're not going to deal with that relationship between us and God tonight, we're going to deal with it sometime because God ain't going nowhere. He ain't going away. He's eternal. We find Matthew 25:46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting ain't going away. Yet people don't think in terms of one of these days I'm going to be punished with a punishment that don't end and don't go away. Because the God of this world says that there ain't no such thing as that. And don't think like that. Mark 3:29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. That's something that doesn't end. Now, if you're damned, you are condemned, you are consigned to such an area or such a condition forever. Okay? Now, we can be in a condition or a situation today and get ourselves out of it. We can do that. But if we find ourselves eternally condemned in the day of judgment, there ain't no change in that. And it ain't going away. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Okay? Eternal power. How much power do you have today? Well, I have power over my life. I have power over my wife. I have power over my husband. I have power over my kids. I have power over my... You don't have no power. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have any power. God has the power. Okay? And the Bible makes it plain that the powers that be are ordained of God. So if you have a little bit of power, God gave it to you. How long is God's power going to be? It's eternal. It ain't gone away. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Promise that you have, Jesus. I have it all. What do you have that power, Jesus? I have it on earth and I have it in the heavens. How much do you have? Jesus has it all. Second Corinthians 4:17 talks about the eternal weight of glory. A glory that ain't going away. 2 Corinthians 5:1, when we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. You know, we might not have much here on God's footstool, but Jesus told me in John 14 that there's many mansions in the Father's house, and He's gone to prepare a place for me. I believe that. And you know what's about that mansion, what's about that place He's gone to prepare for me? It ain't going nowhere. It's eternal. Yet the God of this world blinds people's minds and they can't see past the veil of temporal things. Ephesians 3:11 talks about God's eternal purpose. You know, this church thing is not just a little fly-by-night thing. This salvation thing is not a little fleeting thing. It's God's eternal purpose. God's eternal plan. Talks about eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9. Talks about eternal judgment, Hebrews 6:2. You know, today we can commit a crime and we can be judged guilty of that crime and we can have a sentence of 10 years in prison. If we live to make 10 years, we get out, we've been a good boy. But the Bible makes it plain that if we have been judged in the end of our life to be worthy of death, it's eternal. And it ain't going away. Yet the God of this world blinds people's minds and they can't see that. Talks about eternal redemption in Hebrews 9:12. Talks about the eternal spirit in Hebrews 9:14. Talks about the eternal inheritance in Hebrews 9:15. Talks about eternal fire in Jude 1:7. You know what, 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible there says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Children, we need to be looking for the things that are not seen by the people of this world. And don't let the God of this world blind our minds that we can't see these things. God wants us to see. Ephesians 3:8-9, Paul says this, unto me, who am least, and less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see. That's what Paul said. Paul says, God gave me this grace. I don't deserve it. I'm less than the least of all saints. But He told me to go and preach the gospel among all the nations and to make men see. What is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world from He to God who created all things by Jesus Christ? Children, we have to be looking at things eternal. Let's don't let that old God of this world blind our minds to the truth and hide the gospel from us. You know, there's God is the church to go out there and enlighten people. Ephesians 1, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory and the inheritance in the saints, what is exceeding greatness of His power, just for who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ and raised from the dead, sitting in His own right hand to the heavenly places, Father of all principality, power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is come. For all things under His feet, give Him to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of them to serve all in all. It's our job to enlighten people. And
I hope that if there's any that's blind tonight, that we've enlightened you, so that when we see the invitation song, to come forward and become a child of God, and worship God, serve God, be enlightened by the gospel, no longer His promise. We invite the brother to come forward and lead us down the song. If there's a need in his heart, make it known as we get to stand, as we sing this song.
When the Savior